This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, July 31st, 2011. Behind the music, Take Me In, delivered by Lori Brown, our pastor of spiritual formation.
Okay, so today we conclude our series on Behind the Music. We've been on quite a journey that started 5 weeks ago when we began with Amazing Grace, followed by Days of Elijah, one of my personal favorite songs, and then Life of Praise. Last week, we dug into the lyrics of The Everlasting God, and today we end the series with a song called Take Me In. It was written by Dave Browning in 1987, and as we just sang, this song is about going into the Holy of Holies, not the Holly of Hollies, the Holy of Holies, which is frequently referred to in the Bible as the most holy place, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, or as I like to say, the place where God dwells. So good morning, Connection Church. My name is Lori Brown, and I'm the pastor of spiritual formation here at Connection. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you so much because you are just such an awesome and great God, Lord. Lord, I thank you for bringing each one of us here today. There's no accident that any one of us are here. So, Lord, right now, just open our hearts and our minds and our souls, all of us, all that we have, for the message that you have for us today. And we just thank you and we praise you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we sung, this song begins with, take me past the outer court into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. So the outer court, the holy place, and the brazen altar were all specific parts of the tabernacle or tent of meeting that God commanded to make in the book of Exodus. And we read about this in chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, when God said to Moses, have them, the Israelites, make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. You know, I just love this verse, and what I love about it is right up from the get-go, God is saying that I will dwell among them, the people. Dwelling among the people has always been God's desire. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, God has been working hard to restore and redeem what was lost so that we might live and dwell with God through eternity. Now, the tabernacle that they built was the physical place where God chose that place to dwell among the Israelites as they journeyed through the desert. Now, on the screen is a picture of what scholars believe the tabernacle may have looked like. It was a movable tent that they put up and took down as God directed them. As soon as you step foot through the gate, you enter the outer court. And the first thing you see in the court is the bronze altar or brazen altar, as it's referred to in the song, which is the altar where animals were sacrificed. And that kind of symbolizes that before we go any further, there's sacrifice. Now, within the two rooms in the tent, the first room is the holy place. And once inside, then you could enter the most holy place. Between these two rooms, there is a thick curtain that separates them, and the priests were the only ones allowed into the holy place. They were responsible for the daily, weekly, and annual rituals and feasts of the tabernacle. And the high priest could enter the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and that was just once a year, but we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. So the tabernacle, the thing that you can't see here on the screen, is that the tabernacle is right in the center of the Israelite community. The 12 tribes of Israel are camped all around the tabernacle. Not only that, but the opening to each of their tents is facing it. So the tabernacle is a visual daily reminder to the people that God dwelled with them. God was literally in the center of their lives, and God also desires to be in the center of your life. Lord, I want to see your face. To see the face of the Lord, what exactly does that mean? Because it was believed that if you ever came face to face with the Lord, that you would just die. And yet, several times in the Bible, we see where people seek the face of God. In Exodus, we're told that Moses would talk to God face to face like a friend. There are other examples in the Bible, in Psalms, in the book of Hosea, and the book of Chronicles. Here's one example from Chronicles. That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this matter. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who sing the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Gosh, when we seek God's face, when that's what our heart's desire is, what we're seeking is we're seeking to know God better. We're seeking to do what pleases God. Therefore, we do things like where we love God and we love our neighbors. We draw near to God. We incorporate daily devotion time and the practices of other spiritual disciplines into our lives because these are some of the means that help us approach and dwell with the Holy One. Bottom line is we worship and long to be in God's very presence, face to face, as close as we can get. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. So in the book of Exodus, we're told that there are over 600,000 men, plus women and children. So that's a lot of people. And they are all following Moses in the desert. Can you imagine the crowds of people that would gather at the tabernacle for worship? One of the many roles of the priest back then was to sing, and that they would lead the singing of the people. This person singing this song wants to get past these massive crowds, past the priests that are lifting up God's praises. And why? Because they hunger and they thirst for God's righteousness, God's very goodness. And it's only found in one place, the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, the most holy place. There is nothing more holier than this. The place beyond the holy place, beyond the curtain that separates these two rooms. There was no other place holier than this. This room had the Ark of the Covenant in it, which is a sacred box that contained three things that were crucial to the Israelites' identity as a people. It had the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother and was also the high priest, and a container of manna, which we know in the desert, it was called the bread of life that was given to the Israelites. So the Ten Commandments represents the law and order that God gave to his people. The staff was a symbol of the spiritual bond between God and his people. And the manna was a symbol of God's daily provision for his people. So the Ark of the Covenant, it had a cover on it called an atonement cover or a mercy seat. I wish I could get in more of the details now, but we don't have the time. But anyway, it's here above this mercy seat that we are told that the Lord met with Moses. And after Moses died, only the high priest was allowed to enter this room, and then only one time per year. on the Day of Atonement. So this was the day. The Day of Atonement was the day on which the high priest would pray and offer sacrifice for his sins, for the sins of the people, and for the sins of the community at large. It was the most sacred and holy day for the people. Atonement meant, and this is why, atonement meant that all of their past sins were forgiven and forgotten by God. So it was like on the Day of Atonement, they had a clean slate, so to speak. They were made right before God. And it was on this day that the priest, the high priest, while in the Holy of Holies, could utter that most sacred name of God, Yahweh, that we talked about last week. Now, the idea here is that in the Holy of Holies, that someone would be with the high priest, one-on-one with God. It's here that we could truly seek God's face, and you do not get any closer to God than this. This is where you would want to be if you hungered and thirsted for God's righteousness. As this song says, it's only found in one place. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, touch my lips. Here I am. Blood of the Lamb. Okay, so here we're reminded of the lamb that each Hebrew family slaughtered the night before they left Egypt. They were to take some of the blood and brush it on the sides and tops of the door frames where they lived. Later that night, when the angel of death swept through and took all the firstborn males, both human and animal, those with the blood on the door frames were spared. The angel would pass over. Thus, the name of the meal the Jews to this day share to commemorate God's freeing them from Pharaoh's hand is the Passover meal. Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. This is a reference from Isaiah, who is one of God's prophets, who had a vision in the temple. He sees the Lord and immediately becomes aware of his sinful nature. He becomes fearful, and rightly so. And I love this next part from chapter 6 in Isaiah, where it says, "Woe to me! I cried, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." You know, that's what God wants us to say too. Here am I, send me. See, in God's presence, Isaiah realized his sinful nature, how unworthy he was to be in God's presence with his unclean lips and living among people with unclean lips. A seraphim, which is a fiery, six-winged creature that praises God and encircles his throne, cleanses the lips of Isaiah with a hot coal that takes away his guilt and atones for his sin. So once cleansed, he is ready for God's service. He is ready to be sent. The same is true for you and me. After we are made righteous before God, we are ready for God's service. We are ready to be sent. Now here's the million-dollar question. Are you willing to go? Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. Okay, so this is an interesting history lesson about some of the Old Testament and the Holy of Holies and all of that. And what's that got to do with you and me today? Well, everything. And here's why. The system that they had for annual atonement of sins was not a perfect one. As 2 minutes after having, imagine this, 2 minutes after having your sins atoned for the entire year, forgiven and forgotten, you could fall right back into sin. There never seemed to be enough sacrifice to cover all of the sins that were committed by the people. Now, here's the good thing. God knew we needed help because we have a great God. And as I said, God's desire is to always dwell with the people. It's so deep that God then comes to dwell in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And I love how the Gospel of John communicates this. The Word became flesh, Jesus, and made his dwelling among us. So when we sing, take me into the Holy of Holies, take me in by the blood of the Lamb is no longer the Lamb that was slaughtered for the Passover meal. For us as Christians, the Lamb is Jesus himself. And this is the really incredible part, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, God in the flesh, would come and dwell among us, and this time in person. Isn't that amazing when you think about that? Only to be born and then die as the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins, so that we might live and be made righteous in God's eyes and dwell with God through eternity. Now, if the sacrifice of an animal, think about this, on the Day of Atonement was sufficient for God to forgive and forget our past sins, how much more would the blood sacrifice of God's own Son do? How much more? Well, I'll tell you, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus atoned for our sins, he paid the complete sin debt. Sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future, sins that you haven't even committed yet, sins that I haven't committed yet. We are made righteous. Made right with God when we accept Jesus into our lives. It's really hard to fully imagine this, and I actually encourage you to take some time later today or later this week to get fully present to God's saving and redeeming work in your life. If you have any questions about this, please don't hesitate to ask any of us. We would love to talk to you about that. Now, here's where it gets even better, if it could, right? We talked about that curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The curtain behind which God resided, where only the high priest could go once a year. This is incredible. When Jesus was crucified, hanging on the cross, this is what we are told happened when his life finally ended. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When Jesus died on that cross, the curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place was torn, ripped completely from top to bottom. I can just imagine, you know, it's estimated that when Jesus took his last breath, it was around 6 o'clock. Which would have been just at the time for the evening sacrifice. I can just imagine being in that temple, one of the priests like, oh my God, Jesus just died. What a symbolic thing. Because what this means is that the Holy of Holies, the way to the Holy of Holies is wide open for everyone. God's dwelling will no longer be a room where only one person has access to it, and that only once per year. God's dwelling will be in our hearts. See, when we invite Jesus to be Lord of our life, he comes in and takes up residence with us. He tabernacles with us. Our bodies, our very bodies, are the new tabernacle. Now, together, we make up the church, the physical, visual representation of God's dwelling in the world. So here's the question. If that's what we are, when others see you, what do they see? Do they see somebody who hungers and thirsts for God's righteousness? Do they see someone that seeks the Lord's face? Someone who loves God and their neighbor, not just in words, but in action? This is really important what they see. It is really important because we live in a world that apart from God's presence, there is no hope. A world that is dark, that is full of greed, injustice, discrimination, hunger, oppression, hate, and violence. And the sad part is that many of us either have or are currently experiencing many of these things. I know I've experienced a few of them on that list myself. And it's not fun. If it's not fresh for you, just turn on the news tonight so that you can get present to that darkness. Now, here's the deal. God is just not going to come down here and magically make all these things better. Oh, wait a second. He did. He's sitting out there. He's in here. He's in our midst today, dwelling in each of us. See, I think a lot of times we are waiting on God when in fact God is waiting on us. Take the coal, touch my lips. Here I am. So we have a responsibility as the tabernacle, the dwelling place for God. We have a responsibility to be the hands, the feet, and the voice of Christ in our homes, our workplaces, our schools, and the community. We need to be people who are willing to stand up and speak out against the injustices of discrimination and greed. When we see something and think, my God, that is just not right, it's here that God is saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Where we stand up and say, here I am, send me. Now, this sending could be a small action. I mean, it could be something less comforting another who's hurting. It could be giving food to someone who's hungry or helping lift someone out of an oppressive situation. Or it could be like the youth who just responded to God's call to go on this mission trip. Every one of them said, send me. It could also be something as simple as taking the high road in our relationships, at work, at home, and play. And you know what? The truth is I don't know what that's going to look like for you. I do know that God will help you with that if you seek his face. So as a church, we have a great opportunity to be God's presence in the community during the Peach Festival, and another opportunity the following week, handing out backpacks for kids who need school supplies. What a great opportunity to allow people to see, taste, and experience what's on the other side of the curtain as we joyfully serve the Lord together. Take Me In. What a great title. Take me in, Lord, to the Holy of Holies. Dwell in me, Lord. I want you to be the leader of my life so that I can be one with you today, tomorrow, and all the days of my life. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we just, so amazing what you have done for us, Lord, that you came. You wanted to be with us so much, Lord, that your love is so deep, that you came to dwell with us in human flesh just to be born and die so that we might be made righteous for you. Lord, now that we're righteous, have been made righteous in your sight by accepting you into our hearts, Lord, we pray that each one of our voices will find the place where it says, "Here I am, send me, Lord. Send us, Lord." Help us figure that out. We just thank you and we praise you for the sacrifice that you did for each one of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that he offers.